We are back for another episode of the Real Talk on Women's Health podcast with Essentia Health. We are doing a podcast on midwifery myth busting, and I'm joined by two guests. First and foremost, we have Sky Rogers, an APRN and CNM. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And then we're also joined by a midwifery patient from Essentia Health, Megan. Megan, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's dive right in. My first question is for you, Sky. What is the role of a midwife in providing maternity care for those that might not know?
Certified nurse midwives actually have a very broad scope of practice. We practice well woman gynecology and care. So basically, you know, your annual exams, your birth control visits, if you need to have any kind of follow-up care for a physical concern that has to do with your women's health. And then also we practice low risk obstetrics. So we can take care of women who are physiologically low risk during their pregnancy, their birth, and postpartum. And in some places, certified nurse midwives actually provide neonatal and newborn care up to 6 weeks postpartum, though that is not the case for the midwives at Essentia. The other type of midwife that you will find in the United States are called licensed midwives, and licensed midwives practice typically only in a home birth setting. And there are a very small percentage of midwives in the U.S., but when people think of midwife, they typically think of the licensed midwife version of midwifery who practices home births. Most nurse midwives practice in a hospital setting. And like I said, they're well woven into the healthcare team. And there are nurse midwives who do practice home births or freestanding birth center birth. But at Essentia, we have a really cool scenario where we have essentially what's called a side-by-side birth center, which is our midwifery suites. And those are sort of right on the same floor as the regular labor and delivery unit. And so if you desire a low intervention, low risk midwife supported birth, you can have one right there on the labor unit or adjacent to the labor unit. But then should a high risk emergency occur or develop any kind of scenario wherein you need MD assistance, we're right there and we can transfer you next door to the regular labor and delivery suites.
So what are some common misconceptions or myths about midwifery care that you often encounter? Like to the average person like me who maybe has never given birth, what are some things that you hear are misconceptions or myths maybe?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the vast majority of the myths come from the assumption that midwifery is only a home birth practice or that midwives attend home births. In fact, 98% of all midwifery delivered babies are delivered in hospitals. In some states, midwives in hospitals deliver up to 20% of all babies born in the state. And so we're really deeply woven into the healthcare system, and people don't even necessarily realize they're being attended by a midwife. So, and then the other myth, I think, is that we don't carry any education or have any medical knowledge. Most nurse midwives at this point in time are doctorally prepared. And so, you know, we spend a long time in school preparing, and our clinical education is very robust, as are our maintained competencies through the American Midwifery Certification Board.
How does midwifery care differ from like obstetric care, and what are the benefits of choosing a midwife if somebody's in that point of their life and they're starting to think about that?
So thank you so much for asking this question. I would say, you know, at its heart, midwifery care and obstetrical care are two halves of a whole, and they are complementary to one another. That being said, midwifery really comes from a root, which is the definition of our name, which is midwife, which means with woman. And the root of that is that we try to come alongside our laboring patients or our pregnant patients or our postpartum patients, however we find them, and really meet them where they are physically, emotionally, spiritually. Being a midwife is more than just a profession. It's more than a series of letters or a credential. For many of us, it's a calling. And so we feel really called to care for our community and to meet them in that space. Many of our physician colleagues are also called to the work, and they are called to a very specialized, complicated side of it. They have to balance and carry many patients at a time. They have to balance and carry many high-risk diagnoses. And so our physician colleagues really are holding, if you will, they're the ones where the buck stops with them. So they are holding the life of our patients in a way that is really complex and challenging. And for many of them, what that means is that in order to balance all that, they have to take that extra step back to be able to remain objective. And as midwives, we are privileged to not necessarily have the buck stopping with us in that sense, because we always have that physician backup behind us if we need it. And that allows us just to come in a little closer and to just hold that person's emotions, their story, their pain, their joy, just to hold it all a little closer with them. It's not to say that we are not aware of when something becomes abnormal or requires intervention by one of our physician colleagues. But for people who really need that additional holding or that additional closeness, we can provide that, because that is a hallmark of what we do.
So you kind of touched on this because you guys are there during pregnancy, labor, and postpartum. So can you kind of take me through what services you offer and support during first pregnancy, then labor, then postpartum?
Sure. So with pregnancy, you know, we'll see somebody for their new OB visit or their very first obstetrical exam. And if they are low risk, then we will go ahead and take them into our care, and they come and visit us at clinic and at Essentia, just like, you know, any pregnant patient would who was seeking prenatal care. The difference of our care would be that we spend a lot more of our visit typically focusing on education, really looking at what is it that individual needs. And for some people, it's really finding the resources that she's going to need to parent successfully. And for other people, it's going to be really working on her fears around labor and birth. For other people, it might be kind of maintaining a path of sobriety. And we are there as a partner in that and a support person, simultaneously ensuring that her pregnancy is proceeding normally and that her baby is growing well. Once she's in labor, we're called in for our patients, and we spend as much time at the bedside as we possibly can. And that can look like rubbing her back, being present with her as she's laboring, providing support to her partner. It all depends on what she needs. We try to meet women where they are at and partner with them in that place. Midwife means with woman in Old English. And so we really take that definition seriously and try to be right there with them. Once they birth, we are present with them until we know they are physiologically stable. And once they're stable, then the nurse will take over care. You'll have a nurse throughout your labor with us as well in the hospital and in our side-by-side birth center at the hospital. But we won't leave the unit or go home until we know you're out of danger of bleeding too much, or, you know, that you and your baby are both doing well.
So for somebody who's listening to this podcast that wants to get a midwife, what qualifications and certifications should they be looking for when selecting one?
So I'm so glad that you've asked this question, because I think there is so much misinformation about midwifery out there. And it's just really of paramount importance that women who are choosing midwives, really women who are choosing any care provider, are able to assess the knowledge level, the training level, and the core competencies of that provider. Whether that person is a chiropractor, a midwife, a physician, a nurse, a housekeeper, we need to know that we are getting what we're signing up for. So it's very important for birthing families, birthing women who desire a midwife, to know that their midwife is both licensed and certified, because the licensure process is only enabled by somebody undergoing and passing a very rigorous training program. And that can be a certified nurse midwife, rigorous training program, or it could be a licensed midwifery training program. Then the certification process is where the certifying body or the midwifery board provides ongoing testing to ensure that that person who completed a program maintains their competencies. So in the setting of certified nurse midwives, we are certified, board certified by the American Midwifery Certification Board. And maintaining your certification is a robust process. And we are constantly doing continuing education and furthering our learning and our knowledge. In the setting of the licensed midwife who practices out of hospital birth, she or he would be certified by the North American Registry of Midwives. And same thing, they would have an ongoing, robust practice monitoring scenario. There are individuals who practice in the state of Minnesota without licenses and call themselves midwife. And I have seen outcomes from these individuals that are not good. And I just really want to shout out to to the community that please, please ensure that whoever you choose is both licensed and certified.
So how do midwives collaborate with other healthcare providers if needed?
So in this question, I can only speak to certified nurse midwives because that's the framework that I come from. And certified nurse midwives, like I said earlier, are really woven into the healthcare team. So here at Essentia, we have a very, very collegial and connected, I'd say, relationship with our physician colleagues. Once a week, essentially overnight, we help our physician colleagues in a third role that we can occupy, which is called the triage role. And that's where a lot of the people in our market may have met us, is it through that triage process. And in that setting, we're working to the top of the nurse midwifery scope of practice, which means we are assessing people coming into OB triage. They may be coming up from the ER after a motor vehicle accident or domestic violence, or they may just simply be in labor, but we're helping the physicians with all the patients on the floor. So in the setting of the nurse midwives at Essentia, you can know that you're entering a healthcare paradigm wherein your midwives are really, really well supported, so that when we have our own low-risk patients, we are just trusted and honored to care for them and ensure that everything goes well with them because the physicians know we have great skills.
So now let's go ahead and bring Megan into the conversation and let's talk about your personal experience, Megan, using a midwife. First and foremost, what led you to choose midwifery care for your pregnancy and for your birth experience?
Yeah, great question. So as Sky already mentioned, midwife is derived from meaning with woman. And I think that kind of just sums up what I wanted. I wanted an opportunity, at least my second time. So I chose midwifery route for my second pregnancy. And what I wanted wasn't just a medical provider directing the process, but I also wanted someone who was highly trained and qualified, who could be a companion and a partner along the way. And so, yeah, for my second pregnancy, I knew that I wanted a little bit of a different type of experience. I actually met Sky during my first labor and delivery with my daughter. And I was in the room after a day plus of labor. I've been pushing for over 3 hours. It was we had a couple really hard things happen. Sky came in to assist because my OB was running around the floor helping other women who had worser situations going on. But Sky came in to assist with pushing. And it was in that moment that she actually identified I was losing steam. I was really, really struggling. And instead of seeing just what was happening in the room as physiological, she actually was able to look to me as a whole human and see that there were emotional and spiritual elements going on as well, and paused the room, paused our pushing process, told the nurse team to wait, and had a really, I call it just a kind of a holy moment with me that really rewired my whole understanding of what was happening in that moment. And I think that really just opened my eyes to what midwifery offers that tends to maybe be different than an obstetrical route, which is less of a, I have to attend to lots of patients with lots of different medical needs, but we get the presence of a midwife saying, I'm going to see you as a whole person, and we're going to actually create space for that whole person to be present. And so because I had seen Sky operate in that way with me during my first pregnancy, I knew when the second time came around that that was more of what I was hoping to go for. I also chose midwifery because my intention all along was to have a lower intervention pregnancy and labor and delivery and more holistic care. And midwives are known, I mean, their stats across the board show that they have lower rates of intervention at a higher success. And so for women who are seeking a physiological birth, non-medicated route, midwives are kind of the best of what you can go for until you come across something that needs more of a specialized obstetric care. So I wanted to have a more personal and developed relationship with my provider as well, rather than a more formal one. I think midwifery care allows for sometimes extended prenatal visits, not always, but again, they are tending to see patients as a whole unit, as a whole person. And I think that really changes the way that women can walk through their anxieties. I had a lot of birth trauma from my first, that the second time Sky took a lot of time working through with me in prenatal visits. And then even as we got into labor and delivery, she took time, and I'll talk about that later. But so yeah, I wanted a different type of experience this time. And I think the with woman partner along the way is really what helps define what midwifery can offer.
So prior to you having your first child and kind of that opening your eyes to midwifery, what were some myths maybe or misconceptions that you had?
Yeah. So Sky actually kind of already named some of them. I remember when I became pregnant with my first daughter, I knew nothing about who to choose as a provider. It was a little overwhelming, but I think the way that I saw options or understood the medical world was, well, a doctor obviously seems more certified and more knowledgeable, and you you kind of want the most knowledgeable person in the room when you are about to do one of the craziest things you'll ever do in your life. And so I saw midwifery as kind of maybe less popular route or for a different type of patient that had a specific thing in mind. I didn't know what that thing would be. Sometimes I think it can get the myth of more crunchy route. So I think if people are nervous about that, if that's not what their leanings are toward, they want to go with an obstetrician. And like Sky has already mentioned, there's so many different types of like what midwifery can offer.
So when I think of a midwife, I think of, okay, they're there during labor, but can you tell me about your experience as a whole from pregnancy, labor, and then even postpartum, how a midwife, Sky, played into that for you?
Yeah. So little contextual backstory to myself, both pregnancies, I've suffered with a condition called hyperemesis gravidarum, which is basically severe nausea and vomiting. Take your typical morning sickness that we often hear about, but up that times who knows how much. My first one was really, really rough. And then my second one was far worse. And so Sky actually was really integral of being an ally, but also being an advocate for me during that space, making sure I had infusions, making sure I was getting hospitalized when I needed to be. And so she came alongside, not just in the treatment, but also in the personal care and kind of, yeah, emotional and mental care during that really, really excruciating process. Even in labor and delivery, I saw just that side of her come out when some of that trauma was coming back up. And I don't know what other kind of provider sits on a floor with their patient, holding, hugging them, and helps coaching them into the next phase of what they need to do with releasing and letting their body do the thing it was created to do in the delivery room. And I think too, another thing that I experienced differently was that the space to not only, you know, you're getting all the normal prenatal stuff you would be getting with an OB, and you would maybe get a little more of the personal level because there's just more space for that, I believe. You're getting that personalized care in the delivery room. There was one point where I think most providers would have wanted to get me on what's called Pitocin to get my contractions going because I was stalling out, and I really wanted to avoid that, but I was starting to lose hope that that would be possible. And then Sky comes in with knowledge from her midwifery care settings in the past of, let's wrap your belly and bind you tightly and see if that helps your uterus and your contractions and gets labor going. And sure enough, I naturally went into intense labor within an hour of doing that. And then I think about postpartum, her coming to the room, you know, right after I delivered to do a quick debrief and let me go with baby, and then coming back a day and a half later to do a full debrief. I think we spent quite a bit of time together just walking through the entirety of what happened in that room from her perspective and from mine. And I just think that is something that is so beautiful and so unique to helping women understand their birth stories and celebrate them. And even just when I look at studies of how we undergo trauma and how women undergo birth trauma, and I think some of those early moments of processing and getting to actually work out and getting to hear what is true and what is not true and getting to already start piecing together what happened, what didn't happen, I think is just absolutely paramount for long-term health. And Sky really provided that in a way that I had just never seen done in any other aspect of my prenatal and postnatal care.
So I think it's safe to say that your relationship with Sky impacted your overall experience giving birth in a positive way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I healed this round. I had a pretty rough go on my first child, love her to death, but I healed from a lot of trauma, I would say, and I don't use that word lightly. I know a lot of people, we use that word quite often now. And mind you, I loved my OB. My OB is amazing. She was as wonderful as you can get, so good at her job, but her job requires her to be a specialist for so many women. And that means sometimes that there's less bandwidth. And I feel like I was on a team when I got to be with the midwives because I knew who my midwife was going to be. So even if Sky hadn't been able to attend my birth, I knew that who the other midwives were, because the way that they do appointments is that they shuffle through. So you're never going to get into a situation where you're not going to know who's going to be attending your birth if your primary midwife is not on call, which is really unusual because a lot of times women find themselves in positions in a hospital setting where their doctor's not on call, shoot, and you have zero idea who might be coming in to assist you, which can kind of cause some fear or anxiety. And so it was amazing to see the synergy between her, and even I had a doula this time around, and I really felt like we were on a team, and that can be hard to come by with certain providers, the trust in bringing an outside advocate in like a doula. But Sky and the midwives are so well trained to be able to work in synergy with teams as well. And so, yeah, it was amazing to see kind of how that played out.
What advice would you give to other women who are maybe considering midwifery care or maybe that have doubts about it? What's some advice that you'd give them, Megan?
I think I would say for every woman who's preparing to birth, the human being. It's one of the most beautiful things you'll ever get to do and participate in your life, I believe. And I think every woman owes it to themselves to take into account what kind of birth experience they are hoping for. There's a lot that you can find now in our digital age about what birth should look like, shouldn't look like, all you should be doing to prep, what you shouldn't be doing to prep. And it can be so overwhelming to be inundated with so many resources at a time where we've never been more resourced, I say that in quotes, than we are now. And so I think women have to seriously consider what do I want and who do I want to even be in that situation? When it's your first time, you can't really know who you're going to be or what you're going to do, but you can, I think the number one thing you can do is say, what kind of team can I put in place that I can trust? I might not be in the type of room I was hoping for. I might not have the perfect, hey, and I meant to say this, I'm a super creature of my environment. So mood, lighting, everything really impacts me. And I think midwives also really respect that. I think for my second birth, the lights were off the entire time, to the part where when I birthed my son, they were using lights on their phones to try to help see what was happening because they didn't want to throw me off.
Wow.
Because I was in a setting where I was so in tune with my body and I was so at home in what was happening. And so I think that's one of the great experiences that midwifery can offer, is just we really want to allow, empower women to do what their bodies have been created to do. But I would say that you can't control much other than preparing your heart, body, and soul for what you're about to take place in, choosing a team that you feel comfortable and trusting of, that you know no matter what room you're in, or if it ends in a cesarean or whatever, that you have a team that you can fully trust, that you will have the medical autonomy that you absolutely need. And so, yeah, and if you desire a type of experience that is maybe towards an unmedicated route, then I think, gosh, you can't really do better than a really fantastic midwife setting. And so, yeah, I would just encourage women to really take into account, what kind of experience do I want to have, and then go from there.
So as we sort of start to wrap up now, I'm going to ask a few more questions for both of you. You can both jump in. How can healthcare providers and midwives work together to dispel myths or even promote accurate information about midwifery care?
Well, I think it's important to note that midwives are healthcare providers. And, you know, I think one of the sadnesses that I have is that the American College of Nurse Midwives, which is my professional organization, has really done, on the one hand, a fantastic job passing legislation and getting us into hospitals across the 50 states. But we've done a very poor job with PR. So PR has been left to, you know, people who have access to our nimble internet and who maybe don't really know who we are or what we're about. So, you know, I think it's a matter of consumers just informing themselves about who's out there. Nurse midwives already work really well within the healthcare system. And I think Essentia is a wonderful model of that. I've been a nurse midwife for 16 years. I've practiced in three different healthcare systems. And nurse midwives, you know, we have great outcomes, very, very excellent across the lifespan. And we're very well supported at Essentia Health.
So what are some resources or educational materials that people can go to if they're interested in midwifery care?
You can always go to www.midwife.org. That's the American College of Nurse Midwives website. You can also go to North American Registry of Midwives website. That will give you also very good balanced information on home birth and out of hospital birth.
What is your favorite thing? I do want to know, because I can tell that you're super passionate about your job. What is your favorite thing about being a midwife?
Oh my gosh. I mean, name the honors. There's just so many in the list. But I think, you know, for me, I really feel called to this work. And for me, it's just every day is an honor when I'm asked to share such intimate moments in people's lives. And for me, it's the moments of growth. Like, you know, being with Megan as she healed from her birth trauma from her previous experience, just watching her rise. I mean, she rose like a phoenix during her labor of her second. And I was able to be there in the triage role in her first labor. And I remember the moment that she and I spoke, and just being able to watch somebody through those moments of transformation where they move from a place of smallness in their being into a place of power, for me, I just feel so honored to be able to witness that. And so, you know, that's why I do this work. It's to be present with people as they take those steps. And that power is not mine to hold, and it is not mine to give. I just am there as somebody at the portal to help people find the key to access their own power.
Absolutely. Well, Megan, thank you so much for coming and being on this podcast as a midwifery patient from Essentia Health. And another big thank you to you, Sky Rogers, APRN and CNM from Essentia Health. I learned a lot, and I'm so glad we got to talk about midwifery myth busting on this episode of the Real Talk on Women's Health Podcast with Essentia Health.